Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A historic house in Pella has found a new home in rural Marion County. Let's go in depth with new owner of the Boardwalk House, Nicole Sesker, and Tom Johnson, Vice President of Finance at Central College. Well, Nicole, congratulations. A beautiful house. You're going to move from Central's campus to more central southern part of the county. It's a really beautiful old house.
Thank you. I am just amazed at the house. It's not only beautiful, but it's in amazing shape too. And so to be able to give new life to the house in a location that really lets it breathe and has beautiful views, I'm just really excited.
And we're talking about 300 Broadway on the Central Campus. What do you know about the house, Tom?
Well, we know that it was built by the Wachter family. They used to own and operate a lumber yard in town and right adjacent to the east. Not sure if I know exactly how old the house is, but I would guess probably at least 100 years old.
I think it's about 1913.
And you know, it's served a family as a family residence. The college has used it for residential purposes for a short term. We've used it for a little bit of storage on the odd end here and there, but it's a great structure, and we're just glad that Nicole's got a use for it and has willing to make the effort and the expense to move it.
Yeah, it's one of those kinds of houses that we've all seen that slowly the space is being encroached upon, and so it just doesn't work on the space anymore, and I'm sure Central has other uses for it now. Space.
For the space. You know, part of what you run into with an older structure like this is if we were going to try to renovate it and utilize it for college purposes, we have to bring it up to code, building codes, and ADA accessibility, and all kinds of issues that it just doesn't work to try to retrofit the house for a college purpose.
And it's beautiful, beautiful mission style woodwork, high ceilings. It's, you know, big windows. It's a trip back in time for this, I mean, in this house.
It is. And I think one of the interesting things about historic properties like this, particularly that you can not only see the care that was taken when it was built with the choices in the wood, but the choices in building style, there's a lot of really unique features that while they lend to a craftsman or, you know, arts and crafts or those kinds of things, they technically are quite unique. And it just shows the quality of craftsmanship put into it. But houses like this are also really adaptable. So that's why it served really well for Central to use it for certain purposes and that type of thing. But I really appreciate Central's perspective that as you have to retrofit for a commercial use, that's a very different type of approach. Whereas to bring this back into more of a residential space, more of a farm environment, a place to retreat to and learn and things like that, I think will be a much better fit for the house. I'm very hopeful for that anyway.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Nicole Sesker and Tom Johnson about the historic house in Pella that's found a new home in rural Marion County. Maybe it's just me, but sometimes it seems to me that the historical stuff that maybe you need a little bit of age to appreciate, that maybe this isn't the kind of thing that college kids, they probably want more contemporary stuff.
Correct. I mean, you know, as residents on college campuses have continued to get pricier and pricier, students are expecting more in the way of amenities with those properties. You know, to bring students into this kind of an environment and try to make a living experience out of it probably just doesn't work anymore. Kids want lots of capacity to plug in their electronic devices, you know, Wi-Fi, all of those types of services. That's what today's students looking for. Hard to make happen in this kind of a structure.
Yeah, computer tables, computers everywhere, exactly. Big screens. Just yes. Just doesn't fit with the historic
right.
house.
Right, right. And that reminds me of, you know, there's this very large living room in this house, and it lends itself to trying to ask how to best utilize that, this space. And as I've had family come in, they're like, well, where are you going to put the TV? I'm like, I haven't even thought about where I'd place a TV. That's, you know, just not right. something that is as interesting. To me, there's just so many other things to get done and do.
I'd hide the TV.
Right? I mean, any detraction from the you know, beautiful bones of this house, kind of thing. So yeah.
Yeah, it sort of, I don't know, defeats the purpose.
Yes. To me.
I mean, I'd have one in the closet I'd roll out or something, but it's it's too beautiful. It's incongruous with modern life.
It is, it will absolutely work as we look to, you know, relocate what was built as a kitchen for this home, to, you know, bring that into a slightly different space and rework it. It can work as a very modern, very functional kitchen and still stay true to the approach to the house, to the flow of the house, to all of this gorgeous woodwork, if you do it thoughtfully. And it can continue to represent not only the historical side, but also the future and what's happening from a modern perspective, too.
And what are you going to do with it after you move it?
Right. So if we can make it through this move, and there's a lot of coordination that's happened, there's a lot of coordination left to do. So as long as we can get through that, the real vision for this and what I was really looking for was a gorgeous historic home to bring onto a 20-acre property that I own in southern Marion County that I call Minton Moore. And Minton Moore is really a vision of my sister Megan, my brother Nate, and myself, Nicole, so MNM, Minton Moore, that is about sustainable living. It's about organic production of food and of really treating the land with respect and enriching the soil and trying out different techniques. And so I wanted a place that I could invite guests to, so that if they had information to share about some of those techniques, et cetera, I could learn. And I could also share with them a home that carried its own story as well. And that eventually, perhaps some of the things that we try out at that farm, other people might be interested in learning as well, and they might want to come and learn from us too. And so they'd have a great place to stay.
So some kind of a retreat kind of thing, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. So this is more, it's about creating a learning environment. It's about creating that sense of community around shared visions and things like that. The interesting thing about that is that's very different to have a home that you want to invite, you know, a community into than like a bed and breakfast. For example, if you look at a grand old home, a lot of them make a lot of sense for a bed and breakfast. This one does not. It has, you know, one bathroom upstairs that's shared with five bedrooms, which can work really well if you're really close or want to get to know the people that are in the house with you, but not as good for a bed and breakfast setup. So I think it'll work really well. I think then it gets to carry on its current story to date. It gets to be retold, not just the move. I'm talking about the full history of the house and how adaptable it was through, you know, at Central and things like that, but then also start a new story too.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Nicole Sesker and Tom Johnson about the historic house in Pella that's found a new home in rural Marion County. You're proposing to do some sustainable agriculture research, learning, and this fits in with what Central does, part of the main dominant theme.
Absolutely. You know, we've had a long-standing commitment to sustainability on campus, and we're just excited about Nicole's vision for what this house can be used for, and the opportunity for it to get repurposed and continue to provide education, however that form might take in the future.
And so is this some kind of a lesson to be put on the Central curriculum, maybe?
You'd have to, you know, I'm the VP of Finance, so I count the beans. You'd have to talk to the academic folks about that. But yeah, hopefully, you know, we're going to be able to incorporate the ideas that are being focused on here and share that same story with our students.
Well, and I know a lot of the faculty involved with the sustainability efforts, and I can see them meeting at your place.
I would love that. Yes, I think there is a strong community within Iowa that's interested in those types of issues, and it's really about helping to connect, and that there's a place that we have that's part of that property, and it's this house, and it gets to carry that on. So I would love to have those kinds of meetings.
Well, there's a number of different sustainable farming, CSAs, all
yes.
kinds of things in the county.
Oh, Marion County is just amazing in terms of, I mean, you look at the farm crawl in the every October, it draws people in, and that's just a small group of farms in the area that are really trying different things, and they're seeing it work, they're seeing success, they're seeing attention. And if you go to those events, you're not just seeing folks that are from an agricultural background, you're seeing people that live in apartments or on small city lots, and they're finding ways to incorporate some of those same techniques in a smaller scale. And I think that's really inspiring. It's something that I've always had an interest in, and this is just on a scale of a very small farm or very large garden, depending on how you work, about 5 to 20 acres. So I'm hoping actually that through the work with Mintonmore, we can help find some of those different types of techniques that work, and actually create a network of farms that are of that small scale. Who knows? Maybe I'll move another historic house onto one of them.
And so what do you anticipate your market to be like?
I think it's going to be evolving. I think that there's a lot of ideas and things that I have and that my sister has at this point. And we really want to explore some of those different aspects, see what works, see what challenges we hit, and adapt. And so does that mean we end up in, really focusing on production for a farmer's market or CSA? Does that mean we work on production for plants or seeds, or is it really just about a place to visit or pick your own? We really haven't nailed down the model yet, but we're going to experiment with a lot of different things as we're ready.
All I can think about, I can think about the beauty of a garden or whatever you want to do with it, but I also think that's a lot of weeding.
Here's the great thing. If you, instead of calling them weeds, you reference the fact that every plant serves a purpose. And sometimes what we refer to as weeds are plants that are really good at fixing a problem with the soil that exists. And so if that problem exists and you can go at enriching the soil to take care of that problem, then you can help combat the weeds in a very natural way. So we're looking for a lot of kind of different solutions, different ways to phrase things and things like that. So it's something that all three of us, my sister, my brother, and I had kind of envisioned. And we decided to make a move when my brother was diagnosed with cancer. And we got started on the project and got started on some buffer zones, which are really important, and on some of the planting beds. And then my brother passed away last year. It was terminal cancer. And just a quick plug, make sure you get screened. Colorectal cancer, and he passed away at 37. Get screened. Check it early. And so we're carrying on part of that vision, part of something we wanted to do together that we had a chance to talk about before he passed, and now we're going to honor in spirit instead.
Well, and you've just asked me to reconceptualize weeds, and I've just
right? done it. Oh,
I can handle that.
Good.
And now I've got a good excuse not to mow.
I know, right? I can come up with all kinds of ways that, yeah. And there's some of those things, like as we start to talk about techniques and stuff, we're going to go on a model that I might throw the word permaculture out, and that seems a little off-putting, but at its core, it's a system-based process. Everything interacts with everything else, and you look for solutions. For example, I have an overgrown area. What's a great natural way to solve that? Goats. And then the goats can help fertilize as well, and there's a whole cycle there that can be utilized. But if you strip away some of those words that can, kind of hold you back from the concept, it can be as simple as you plant an evergreen on the north side of a house as a windbreak and a deciduous tree on the south for sun in the winter and shade in the summer. That's a permaculture concept in action. It's really about how the natural world works to create these micro environments that complement each other and are really about honoring nature, and it all comes back at the health of the soil as well.
Anything you'd like to add, Tom?
Like I said, we're just excited about McColl's concepts and ideas for how she's going to use this house, and we think it's going to be a great next chapter for the house.
Last thoughts?
I want to thank Central for making the house available, and the Pella Historic Trust for helping to make sure people were aware of it, and all of the people that are going to contribute to trying to make this happen. There are a lot of people, a lot of organizations, utilities, municipalities, contractors, a lot of involvement, and I really appreciate all their efforts.
Thanks to McColl Sesker and Tom Johnson for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.